Hey, welcome to the Film Podcast. I'm Ricardo.
I'm Jenny.
And I'm Rory.
That was weird. Welcome. Today we're talking about, what are we talking about? Epic battles. Now question, I had a hard time, I had a list of five, and then I realized, oh, these are fights. I put fights in my thing. So I made a rule for myself, you guys could do whatever the hell you want. I'm not the boss of you. It has to be more than four people involved in a fight.
More than four?
Yeah. Oh,
wow. Just for me.
I'm good.
Or three. Three, I guess. More than two people is more than just a fight. It's like, it could be a battle. Did you guys have a hard time with the list?
No, I was doing almost the same thing at first and realized I had to change and delete the fights and get the battles in there.
Nice.
I feel like there's probably one or two I forgot. Hopefully, y'all picked them up.
Pick them up where?
Like on your list.
Yeah, I was trying to think of like ones that aren't done in every battle list, but it was a little hard.
Yeah, I tried to do no war movies.
Oh, wow.
Because I figure those would be.
Well, I brought regular. One that everyone will probably have on their list.
Yeah.
But I put it as number five to get over with.
Oh, okay.
I do have one. Well, it's not really a war, it's a military situation.
Right.
So before we get into it, any movies you guys just recently watched or anything?
Where did we go see with Jack? X-Men?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We saw the new X-Men.
The new X-Men? It's just a dude with an axe.
Yeah.
And he could just chop wood really fast.
You remember I Married an X-Murderer?
Yeah.
It's like a sequel. It's their kid.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Nice. So now you've seen it twice, Jenny, right?
Right. Well, one full.
One what do you think?
I liked it.
You liked it like a lot?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it. That's our opinion.
I don't know. I liked it. I thought it was done. It ended really, the end product was really well done.
Yeah.
I liked the story.
I just like that it was a good reset button. Like, it's like, oh, right when I was going to say, it's getting a little too crazy with two storylines, two big casts playing the same characters. Mm-hmm. It's going to get a little crazy. They just kind of hit the reset button in the beginning, and it made it fun. I liked it. So
I'm glad they didn't do much of the old people.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
They concentrated on the
peppered them in a little bit, but it wasn't overdone. I liked that a lot.
Still too much Halle Berry, though.
Yeah.
Halle Berry.
She was in it for like three scenes.
three scenes too many.
Did you guys see Edge of Tomorrow?
Not yet.
No. Man. Did you see it?
Yeah.
Was it good?
And you liked it?
Yeah.
I heard really good things.
Yeah. Like, that's another movie that I'd probably go see at the movie theater again. It was
really?
Really fun. I just hate that it kind of didn't do that very, it didn't do very well in the box office. Because, like,
it was that did well. I can't remember what it was.
I think it was a kids movie.
Oh, Fault in Our Stars? Is that what it was up against?
Oh, yeah.
Maleficent.
And that did really well. Maleficent hasn't been doing well.
Oh, really?
I'm glad. Edge of Tomorrow is really kind of fun and really well made, and everybody's great in it. And I'm surprised how much like humor there was in it, and I enjoyed it. So,
I just heard the Tom Cruise podcast on Nerdist.
It was pretty good.
And,
he definitely
he's really funny.
He got to some things that. To a level where you're not used to. Like, if he did interviews like that, the thing is you can't do an interview like that on TV because it's no interview goes over like 10 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
But he got a chance to be like funny and himself, and you know, that's cool. He's kind of like a movie nerd, basically.
Yeah, definitely. I thought that was neat. I liked that a lot.
All right. Rory, anything else you've seen?
Oh, actually, Maleficent is doing okay.
No, I think.
Did you guys see Maleficent?
No, it was just playing when we saw X-Men.
Oh, not a fan.
I think Edge of Tomorrow actually just, I don't feel like I saw much of it.
We saw that whole thing at Comic-Con last year.
No, I know we did, but like I feel like there's only like a few billboards out here and there was never anything. Well, okay, so I don't watch live television. They might have been something on live television.
Yeah, there's some stuff
on TV. There was only, I only remember seeing the trailer and like one movie I saw.
I feel like after watching the movie, like I would have had a hard time cutting a trailer to that. Like it's kind of Like, really, well, it's about a coward who becomes a hero. And then everything else is just peppered in on top of it. And that's really all you have to know. But it's hard to push that in a, you know, 1 minute trailer. So, all right. So, should we get started on the list?
Yeah.
Rory,
yeah.
You want to go first?
Sure.
Go ahead.
All right. Number five is probably just like the earliest one I remember. It's not even that early in my childhood, but just like, if I think back to big epic fight scene, it's this one and Kill Bill, the crazy 88 fight.
Nice.
That's on my list.
Just nuts.
Yeah, I love that fight.
Like, the anime inspiration is just off the wall.
Yeah.
And that's probably why it sticks with me the most, because it seemed more like out of a comic than it did a movie.
Yeah.
And I ate up every second of it.
And it went on for like... It was so long. And it wasn't like, oh man, this got gone on forever. It was like, oh man, it got crazy. And then like you're like, no, it got crazier.
Yeah.
And then you're like, no, it got crazier. And then bam, the lights go off, and you're like, that's as crazy as it's gonna get. You know? It got crazier. Because after the big battle, there's a fight scene.
Yeah, there's the back boss fight.
Yeah, yeah. So
God. Which is what else can you say about it? It's just perfect.
Yeah,
so much blood. Even the shot at the end where they're all just like twitching on the ground, and the ones are like trying to like reach for their limbs that have flown off.
Yeah, yeah,
blood everywhere.
What what's her name? Zoe Bell. She did a lot of Uma Thurman's stunt work, and she's badass. I mean, she's pretty badass in everything she's done, but she's also really cool in Death Proof. She's the girl who's on the hood of the car the whole time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's...
Oh, she does kind of look like Uma Thurman.
Yeah, she was her stunt double, so... A lot of the times when you know, they're not constant... You don't see her face very well, it's her. But like, it's so well done, and, like, it just keeps moving. Like, I don't know how you keep track of that. Like as a director, like you gotta just, I guess, storyboard really well.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty specific, and it builds, and then... And then you have a little, it doesn't keep going. It kind of plateaus, and then back with the fight with Lucy Liu, which is also badass. Man, yeah. I moved that to my number four, so we're on the same page. I mean, my number five.
Okay.
So.
Do you know how much Uma Thurman had to train for that?
I don't remember. I don't remember.
I don't know either.
Yeah.
I'm interested to know about that.
Yeah.
Because she fights the whole fucking
like
two movies.
Like her character? Yeah. Like how long she was with Bill?
with Pai Mei.
Oh, yeah. Pai Mei. That's what it was.
Yeah. I don't know. But I mean, a lot of, like, there's a lot of, like, fight teams that she's in. So she had to have had a lot of training, at least to... Because her face is in a lot of close-ups of that movie. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, good pick.
Mm-hmm.
I'll move that to my number five. But also, we should get one out of the way. I'm sure it's in everybody's list. Unless it's... Okay, I'll show it to Jenny, and then she can tell me if I should wait or not. Is this movie on your list?
No.
Okay, so we should talk about it. We should talk about it before we even started, but let's get it over with. Saving Private Ryan, opening scene. That's probably... an epic battle, right? We all agree.
Yeah,
really great.
I just left that off because I knew it was going to be a hit on.
It goes without saying.
Yeah. Right?
But
I've
never
seen Saving Private Ryan.
What?
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So you don't know the battle we're talking about then?
I've heard plenty about it.
Oh, okay.
I've seen like YouTube clips, but I've never actually seen it in the movie. I don't think I've seen the whole battle either because it's like, what, 30 minutes or something?
Yeah. I don't think... I mean, there have been like epic battles and stuff in film. I mean, since the beginning of film, but I don't think no one captured like that day, how people describe it in like documentaries and in books. And
what war is it supposed to be again?
It's World War II. It's the invasion of
Omaha, our response to Pearl Harbor. That's when we jumped in.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Are they in Omaha? Omaha Beach? Is it? I think it is. It's one
of
the
talking about.
The quadrants that they're attacking.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah some code name.
Yeah. but it's like the most realistic
depiction. Normandy?
Yeah, they're attacking Normandy, France, but It was a specific battle because they named them a bunch of the beaches,
right?
And it was a specific like landing of the invasion. But man, like it's another one where like it's hard to keep up. Like I definitely saw this movie like more than once in the movie theater. Just for that opening scene alone, like the way he shot it, like the cinematography process, the way they process the film, like, man, like there's so many, the making of is like pretty intense of how like how much thought went into that opening scene of the movie, and it's only the opening scene of the movie, you know?
Yeah.
So, I was just watching this little thing, like a video essay someone did, and talking about long shots. You know how like Kill Bill, there's actually in Kill Bill that scene right before she goes in the battle, there's a really long take that goes from the top. The waitress takes order and then goes all the way down the stairs
and into
the bathroom. But the video essay I was listening to was about the guys that you don't really, that are very subtle. And Spielberg's one of them. Like, they showed a bunch of scenes that they're really long takes, but you don't notice that one takes because he just does them so subtly. And you know, there's one scene in Saving Private Ryan at the end, the last battle they have, mm-hmm. when Matt Damon joins them, that goes, it's one long take, but you don't, it's so well done that you don't even notice that it's one take. So subtle. But yeah, actually the whole movie has a bunch of cool battles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that one, I mean,
specifically
the historical importance of that battle just compacts it all and makes it just unforgettable.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Jenny, what is your number five?
All right. So my number five, this one was actually on, a couple of them on my list actually were on my favorite Kung Fu movies list. And my number five is Kung Fu Hustle. It's the last battle when all three of the main characters come together to defeat the other Kung Fu masters. And it starts with... I can't remember how it starts. It's something like they're all leaving. They're like, we're going to give up and just go home or whatever. And then, so one of them's walking away and these two really quiet Kung Fu guys shoot arrows at them. And so they use their harps.
Oh, okay. Now I know what you're talking about.
And yeah. And so
those guys.
Yeah. And so that's how it starts. It's like really dark and he's just walking down an aisle and all of a sudden you see, or like an alley, and all of a sudden you see and hear like arrows going by him, but you don't see the arrows. You just hear them and then you see like leaves fall because that's where the arrow's going. So that's like where it starts.
That is a good scene.
And it's a great battle. Kung Fu Hustle.
You know, I never saw this movie.
The guy that did like Challenge Soccer?
Yeah.
You never saw it? It's good.
You know what's so funny is that this guy, I don't know his name, the lead guy, and he's also the director.
He's the director,
They were going to do The Green Hornet. And then they had a falling out with the studio.
That would have been so cool.
And he left and he was going to be Kato as well. And then they brought in Michelle Gondry to kind of finish it off. But like, I'm sure the other version of it would have been even funnier. And like, cause the version we have isn't funny at all.
I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Cause I just heard awful things.
You're good. But so yeah, I never saw it. So it's really good.
Yeah. Especially the fight scenes. I mean, like all of this dude's movies are a little bit ridiculous, but I think I like Challenge Soccer better just cause I saw it first. But Kung Fu Hustle was really... I forgot about that scene. That's such a good scene with the harp guys.
Yeah, I liked those guys a lot. And them defeat them. That's definitely a battle. And then the two main old Kung Fu people that you didn't even know were Kung Fu people come out at the end.
Yeah.
Paddle them. They're like really old. Yeah, it's such a... Oh, yeah.
Fuck, I don't want to rewatch that movie
It's now. Almost like they have powers instead of... What is it? It's like they have kung fu, like each person has a kung fu thing.
Yeah, like a technique.
Like a technique that they use. And so, and it's all these random like techniques. And so it's really awesome. One of them's like screaming.
So it's kind of like the old, like, you know, old kung fu movies where it's just kind of exaggerated kind of.
Yeah.
But done comedically.
Yeah. Okay. It's got like a comedic spin on each power.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
so that's my number five. Let's rewatch that.
I know.
I've never seen it, so I'm good. I'm good watching it.
You're like, I'm good. I don't want to.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm good with watching it.
I might have it. No, I don't know if I haven't. I gotta look.
All right,
Rory, what is your number?
Number four. I can't do a movie list without my man Bruce Willis on it. So, did the scene from Fifth Element, where it's the whole the diva singing sing and Lilu's fighting.
Yeah,
all the guys. Rusty's protecting the chest or whatever it is.
Yeah.
That they think the thing's in. That, and I can't remember if it's the same scene because it's been just a hot minute since I've seen it. But also at the same time, like Bruce Willis and Chris Tucker are like fighting out of the
ballroom
of the opera room. Yeah. And oh my god, just all of the if they're not together, let's just put them together because it's in the same boat.
Yeah,
and I just love it.
And they're like, both battles.
What's her name from Resident Evil is kicking ass in the room, and then Bruce Willis is being fucking Bruce Willis.
When he still had hair. He still had hair on top of him.
Yeah, he did.
He had a little bit left.
He had a little kind of like a faux hawk, but not intentionally.
Yeah. I need to rewatch that movie again. I feel like I used to watch it all the time and I needed to take a break. And now it's been like 5 or 6 years and I just need to rewatch it.
It's so good.
It's really good.
Chris Tucker screaming and like counting after he throws Bruce Willis throws the grenade and then he tells fucking Chris Tucker to start counting and he's like screaming while he's doing it. I love that part.
Chris Tucker is so like underrated in that movie.
He really is. Yeah. He just steals every scene he's in.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of Fifth Element, Luc Besson has a new movie that he's writing and directing this year called Lucy. So I'm excited to see it. It's the Scarlett Johansson movie.
I saw the trailer was in front of X-Men.
Yeah.
And it looked, I hadn't seen it before then.
It looked pretty cool.
Yeah, I want to see it.
I mean, it looks like it's just her with superpowers, but
yeah,
she's in the Avengers again. But yeah, so that is your number
four.
My number four is a two-way tie. Oh, man. Just because I had so many movies that I want to put on here, but I squeezed them in here. One is end battle and one is it's an opening battle. The two-way tie is one is the Grandmaster. I think you also saw it, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
The opening scene when he's fighting all the guys in the rain.
Oh, the rain. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a really cool scene.
It's Wong Kar-wai, who's kind of known for like being still, like a lot of his movies are really still. Like he had never done a martial art movie ever. Like his forte is like literally like stillness, like
naturally love it.
yeah But I was pretty interested to find out that he was directing this kung fu movie about Ip Man, and it kind of delivered. Like it was not what I expected, but it was cool. Like it was his version of it. It was really still in the non fighting scenes, but the fighting scenes were actually done really, really well.
Yeah.
It's the first time I think he's used digital and it was done well. Like I like that, like you saw like every little drop of water and like, you know,
it was
really well shot. And like then, you know, when he would push them against like the gates and the gates would fall, it was just done so well.
Yeah.
And I think Wu Ping, who did like the Matrix stuff and who's done a bunch of like films. I think he did the wire work and the fighting choreography.
Oh, okay.
So it just looks pretty badass. But the other tie was I picked a movie from 1954 and I picked The End Battle from Seven Samurai. Have you guys seen this?
No, I haven't.
I saw it once a long, long time ago.
And the reason it's a two-way tie is because they're both in the rain. And where Grandmaster is really like really well lit and it's like you could see everything's clear. Like Seven Samurai is like it's like gritty and it's like muddy. Where the Grandmaster is like sleek, you know, like even though it's raining, no one's slipping. Everything's like really sleek. And Seven Samurai, like people are like falling and like they're missing with their swords. And it's like really chaotic and it's really, really well done. It's the end fight scene. And also, too, he films a lot of the battles at the end, like in wide shots. So you really get to see like the scope of the battle. And it's from the 50s. So. It even makes it, you know, it makes you like appreciate it a little more because it's, you know, you didn't have the cheats you have now where you could CGI, you know, two guys fighting, or if they miss punches, you could CGI them closer together and stuff. It's just really, really well done, and it goes on forever. And some of the shots, like, they're really long takes, and it's just really well done. So, again, my number four was a two-way tie, Grandmaster by Wong Kar-wai, and Seven Samurai by Akira Kurosawa. So,
very cool,
Jenny.
Okay. So my number four is, I'm surprised it's not in you guys' list.
Well, maybe. We don't know yet.
I have three more.
It's Anchorman, the battle in Anchorman.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I saw it in another list, and I was like,
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it gets pretty crazy. One or two?
One.
Well, okay. Two is just like, they already did that joke.
Yeah,
I never saw I never saw the movie, but when I saw it on somebody's list, I just went and watched that clip.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty funny.
It's funny, yeah. But like...
Yeah, it's a weird time and...
You're already let down, like,
yeah,
at that point in mm-hmm. the movie. And so when they do it, you're like, fuck you, man. Like,
yeah, so exactly.
You couldn't make the movie funny, so you're just rehashing jokes. Is what it felt like.
It was like 3/4 of the way into the movie that was already not very good.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt robbed.
What? Yeah. So, did you guys see the movie? Did you see the first movie in theaters or on DVD?
Theaters.
I don't remember.
I didn't like it when I first saw it.
I've seen it so many times, I do not remember if I ever saw it in theater.
The first time I saw it, I didn't like it. And it wasn't until like I rewatched it a couple times on Blu-ray, on DVD, I mean, that I was like, oh, this movie's really funny. I just, I was weirdly snobby.
I was like the right age for that those jokes.
Yeah.
So it was just hilarious the first time I saw it.
He's like, what do you love? It. He's like, He's like, I love my dog Baxter here.
He kicks We're going to start bridge. That game where everybody just starts doing Anchorman quotes.
But yeah, it is a crazy battle. So let's see who's in that battle. It's Tim Robbins.
Uh-huh.
Ben Affleck. Vince Vaughn.
Ben Affleck? No, Ben Stiller.
Ben Stiller. That would have been cool if Ben Affleck was in it.
I was like, wait,
Ben
think
Stiller,
about it.
Sorry. Ben Stiller, mm-hmm. Tim Robbins, Vince Vaughn.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the dude from Idiocracy?
Which guy? Oh, Luke Wilson.
Yep, that guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man, there's like three other groups that we're not thinking of.
Dude, there's so many people.
Yeah. Man, it gets crazy.
New one had good people in it.
Yeah.
I wish it had worked. Have freaking Kanye.
Really?
Just the cameo? Who was standing up on the building?
MTV guy.
Oh, really?
Kanye was the MTV one.
There's like somebody standing on a building or a billboard or something near near the end of the battle. I don't remember.
I can't remember.
I tried to forget that movie.
Part two? Yeah.
Will Smith was like ESPN or something.
No.
Wasn't Will Smith ESPN?
Man, I wish that movie was better. I mean,
well, I'm glad that one's not on your list. Just the first one.
Yeah. But it is an epic battle. And what's his name? What's Steve Carell's character's name?
Brick.
He kills a man.
Brick kills a guy.
Yeah. He's like, you should probably be in the run.
Where'd you get a hand grenade?
But the guy he killed with a trident, dude.
Yeah.
He stabbed the guy with a trident.
Where'd you get it?
I think I laughed the most in that fight when he's just walking around with the hand grenade screaming.
Yeah. And there's like a Planet of the Apes scene where like these two guys in horses.
Yeah,
like,
and they drag the guy.
That's pretty epic.
Oh, shit.
All right, that was your number
four.
Four.
Mm-hmm.
Rory, what's your number three?
All right, number three. Once the action starts in this movie, it's the battle until the one guy gets knocked out. And Lone Survivor.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's once it starts, it's one battle.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Goes on forever.
Until that guy goes all the way down the cliff and passes out when he's hiding. Yeah.
Well, we should say it's based on a true story, so there will be spoilers here.
God, it's just so good. When the shit finally hits the fan that they've been building up to for the first quarter of the movie,
yeah,
it just feels real. Feels real, feels hopeless.
So let's start in the beginning.
God.
Because I should say, like, that one was one of the most underrated movies I had seen.
Yes.
Because really, like, no one was talking about it. Like, and I don't know why, because it was really well acted. Like, that's...
Yeah.
When people say, like, oh, I don't know why you like Taylor... What's his name? Taylor... Kitch?
Kitch. The Mars guy?
Yeah, the guy from... Yeah, the guy from...
He's great.
He's amazing. Yeah, and he just doesn't get... Sometimes he picks the wrong roles. Movie called Battleship.
He was... I didn't see it.
Yeah,
he was
in the lead. Yeah. So, Lone Survivor was really... I had really heard nothing about it. It had been floating around. I think Pete Berg had been like really a guy fighting to get that made. The only way I think he got it made was because he got so many stars in it. And they're amazing in it. Sorry. It's Mark Wahlberg, Taylor, I can't see his last name. Kitch,
I think.
Emil Hirsch, Ben Foster. I'm missing a bunch of other people. Oh, Eric Bana is in it. One of the dudes from Entourage is in it, playing a small part. There's a ton of people cast in this movie. But the movie, I like how it starts the way it starts, because you kind of get to kind of see the camaraderie between them, and like how like the mundane. Do you mean? You go from the mundane, like just waking up, working out, calling you know, your girlfriends, to like the most intense situation ever. And I feel like Saving Private Ryan did an amazing job of capturing that, you know, that type of warfare.
Yes.
Pete Berg did a really good job at capturing this type of warfare.
Yeah.
And it's intense. Like, it's one of those movies where, like, you're kind of white-knuckling it the whole way through.
Yeah, man.
And you...
Even when they're making the decision.
Yeah, yeah. And
it's just like, they have fucking both of them have valid points. It's like, I don't know what the hell I would do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That was a big thing where... Even when the movie was over, I'm like, I don't know if I would have made a different decision. Or, you know, even if you made the different decision, like, I don't know if that would have helped them. I don't know. Like, it's just one of those things that it's pretty intense. And when they would get hurt, it didn't look graphic for the sake of being graphic. It looked like, shit, that hurts. It looked everything looked like it really hurt. Where
it's like so natural.
Yeah.
It wasn't the focus of the shot when it happened. It was... Everything else, it was what they were trying to do, not, oh, he got hit, let me zoom in on that bullshit. Like, it was, like, authentic.
Yeah, it was like a byproduct of what they were doing, not, so it was so well done, and a lot of action movies concentrate on that, so they kind of desensitize you to the violence.
Yes.
Where this kind of, every time someone got hurt or, like, had a black eye and couldn't open their eye or something, like, I genuinely, like, felt it, like... Every time they had, like, dust in their eye, like, I'm like, man, like, I want to, like, wipe it off. Like,
yeah, and it's, like, valuable seconds.
Yeah.
Because there's only, what, like, four or five of them?
Yeah.
So it's just, like, dust in the eye is a big deal because it takes one of their four guys out.
Yeah. But intense all the way through. That's one giant battle. That's, like, basically the whole movie. Really intense. Really well done.
And just, like, the team, like the emphasis on the teamwork.
Yeah.
And just, like, the, like... Like, they have, what, less than a minute to set up once they make contact. They're like, oh, shit, it's about to go down. They have less than a minute. They get set up. Like, does it work?
Yeah.
And just, like, all the decisions on the fly. And because it's not working, they're getting tore up.
Yeah.
Like, they don't even make it the first 5 minutes without getting tore up.
Well, making decisions, they're getting tore up.
Yeah.
Like, there's no time to make decisions.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, it was really intense, really well done. It's funny, I heard an interview with... Peter Berg, the director, and he said, what was the hardest part of the movie? And he said, Ben Foster.
Why?
And he's like, why? And he would try to want to do everything, like all the stunts. He's like, it was just hard to like talk him out of doing things. He said that.
Dude, I love to hear that. And any movie where there's an actor in an action role and he wants to do the shit, I love it. I just can't get enough
of it. Tom Cruise.
He talked about one of the scenes where like they're tumbling down, stuff like that, and the stunt guy did it. He like jumped off a cliff. He hit a tree, then bounced back onto the rocks and then went down. And they had to airlift him out of there because he broke like four ribs. Like just
Ben Foster did?
No, the stunt guy.
And then Ben Foster's like, I'll do it.
Yeah, then Foster's like, could I go next? And he's like, no. If we lose you, then we don't have you for the rest of the shoot. But he was always like down to like, and he said sometimes like they would set up the thing and then they would go down, you know, because it would be a wide shot. And then he said that he would look around and Ben Foster would be up there trying to sneak in and move the movie. But that's really cool that like he was just so invested in it and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
Man, that should have been on my list.
Hey, man, Jackie Chan does it. Why can't he?
Yeah. All right. So what number are we now?
Three.
Three.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was three.
For my number three, I picked a movie. It's kind of, I mixed a lot of things, a lot of different types of warfare. For this one, we're in Vietnam, and the movie was made in 1979. It's Apocalypse Now. Mm. And it's the battle with the helicopters.
Uh-huh.
Because to coordinate that, like, and, like, be able to, like, be like, okay, I'm going to film it this way, and it's going to come out because I'm going to film it here, 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 and here. It's intense because there's a ton of helicopters. There's rigs that they're going to explode in the ground, and it all moves at a perfect pace. And I don't know. Have you guys seen it?
Yeah, I saw it in high school. I took a Vietnam class.
Okay.
And that was one. He
they
made
showed it to you guys in high school?
He had a list of movies that you could watch
yeah.
and get extra credit. And I was like, yeah, I'll watch a fucking movie. That was great.
Nice.
It's an intense movie.
It's a good movie. In the same class, he had like a whole like week or two devoted to this, the music of the time too. Yeah. And so we had assignments where he had burnt CDs and he would give you a burnt CD and you could listen to it.
That's pretty cool.
And do an assignment on it. It was a really cool class.
I wish that guy was my teacher. this movie's pretty insane. I mean, there's a lot of battles in the movie, but specifically, like, I just picked that one out because of the complexity of this, like, aerial ballet. Like, I really, like, you see it in like, documentaries and stuff, and I still don't know how the hell they get coordinated and how they don't crash into each other. Like, it's just so well done, and I mean, to do it out of battle, but to like, for Francis Ford Coppola to be able to, like, to film this, like, chaos going on, like, it's pretty intense, and that's why I put it as my number three. And the music is in the movie is pretty cool as well. Like, I think, there's a bunch of cool stuff, and there's so many good actors, even Brando, that showed up fat to set. He still makes it work. He's supposed to be this great warrior, but he's, like, really overweight. So, all right, Jenny.
All right, so my number three, it's part two, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, part two.
What battle?
It's the whole battle.
Probably the end of the movie.
What movie is this?
No, it's the beginning of the movie. It starts with it.
What?
Part two?
What's the battle then?
Isn't it start? Like, it doesn't part one end where the battle is about to begin?
No, it ends with Voldemort getting the wand from Dumbledore's grave.
Oh, okay.
No, the battle's at the end of the movie.
I know, but I thought like the whole, almost the whole movie was the battle.
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
Anyway, it's that. Well, what about it? What did you like?
It is in the same battle. It never ends. That's one of the movies where I was like, enough of the fucking battles. I just want to go home. I know the bad guy's gonna die.
Dude, the part with Neville on the bridge, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Neville is the nerdy kid, right?
Yeah, he was like fat in the first movie or two.
Yeah. And then he got all hunky.
Yeah. That worked out for the makers of that movie. That he actually like grew up being fat.
Really? In the book he's not like fat or what?
I mean, that was just who they casted for that part. I don't think they're looking that far in the future.
Yeah.
When they were making those movies.
So who ends up matching up with who? I don't remember that movie. So of course, Voldemort. Mm-hmm. Voldemort. He ends up fighting like three of them, right? Like all three of them. Don't they?
No, just Harry.
Just Harry? And who fights Helena Bonham Carter?
Who's that?
The witch.
The evil witch.
Beatrix.
Mrs.
Weasley. Yeah, the Weasley's mom.
Oh, Weasley's mom? I thought it was Hermione.
Yeah, because she's like fucking with the kids.
Well, Bellatrix is about to put a spell on her daughter, Jenny, and she says, like, not my kid, bitch, or something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
She says bitch?
Yeah. She says it in the book, too.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. And then kills her. It's very alien. Aliens.
Yeah, it's exactly like Aliens. It really is.
That's pretty cool. You know what? I think I remember that now. All right.
Yeah.
Now I'm liking it again. I remember someone fights a snake, or no? Am I going crazy?
Yeah, Neville. Well, there's a couple of them fighting the snake, but then Neville takes the snake out too.
Oh, okay. The snake is pretty crazy. And then who are they fighting? Are they just fighting the Death Eaters?
Death Eaters.
Everybody else?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good guys versus the bad guys.
What are the things that eat souls and shit? Dementors.
Dementors.
They're all away. They're all hanging out and shit.
Yeah. You know who I still hated? I hate the Malfoys so much. Such
I think
dicks.
That's the point, dude.
Just a bunch of rich
kind of like Joffrey in Game of Thrones. You're supposed to hate the dude. So they're doing their
well,
their job.
Well, I mean, at the end, though, you don't really hate Draco anymore.
No, I still
hated him, yeah.
You kind of feel bad for him.
No, I hated him. I wanted him to die.
Dude, he succeeds once in the movie. Fucking Harry up.
Yeah.
All movies over, you know.
Yeah. It was really well cast. Did Gary Oldman come out at the end on the last movie or no? Or was he just like a ghost? Did he come out
Might
like
have been a ghost.
Like a hologram or something?
Maybe he's in one of those pictures or something.
Yeah. And he talks to Harry.
Moving pictures.
Yeah. That's a pretty intense fight, and it kind of she's attacking in a different way. All right, I hear you. Now I'm curious to find out what your number one is. Rory, what is your number two?
Number two, I went with my kung fu movie. I really wanted to do a Jackie Chan movie,
but you were
he
like,
doesn't really do battles. He does more fights.
Yeah.
So I went with Kung Fu Panda.
Never seen it. Never seen it.
There's a really awesome scene. Set it up for you. Jack Black's Kung Fu Panda.
Okay.
Spoilers. He's really bad at everything, but he's quote unquote destined because of some mayhaps. And there's a school of fighters that are all specialized in their own techniques. And the bad guy of the movie breaks out of prison.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all supposed to be training Jack Black, but he's not ready yet. He sucks. He's fat.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're fed up with it. They're like, he's not going to be able to defeat the bad guy when he gets here. And so they sneak off in the middle of the night to go head him off. And it's the battle to keep him from getting to the town, to the school.
Mm-hmm.
And getting the Elder Scroll or whatever the hell it's called. And this is a really awesome animated choreographed fight. It's all the different animals doing their special techniques. And like the bad guy's still whooping them. And just like...
Is that the end battle?
No, it's like the midway battle.
Oh, really?
Because Jack Black's got to be the end battle.
Oh, okay.
And so they're like fighting on a bridge. Like an old wooden bridge.
What kind of animals are there?
There's like a tiger. The bad guy's a tiger cat thing. And then there's a tiger on the good side. A praying mantis. A monkey.
Bad guy's a lion, I thought.
A lion. I said a cat thing.
Oh.
Cat person.
Well, be a weird
monkey,
if they were the same
snake,
cat.
Yeah.
And a crane. So yeah. All the different styles.
Yeah.
And so they're like trying to work together and beat him. But he's just like... amazing fighter. They were trained by their master. He was trained by their master. And so
who's the voice of the master?
I don't remember all the voices. There are some good voices, though. I just can't remember what they are. Yeah. We should look that up.
Speaking of cats, do you guys ever see Thundercats as a kid?
Yeah, I love Thundercats.
Question. So they were all cat people, right? Bless you. They were all cat people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what was his name? Narf?
Snarf?
Snarf. What was he?
I don't know what he was.
Because he was like a pet version of them, and they treated him like kind of like a slave. Like he'd be like, it was weird.
What was Snarf?
He'd just be like, Snarf, 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 Snarf. I'm scared, Lionel.
He was a snarf. That's what he was. He had a weird tail. He didn't have like a cat tail.
No, because he would stand on the tail and like balance himself.
Yeah, he had a weird.
All right, so the bad guy is Ian McShane.
Oh.
The Tigress is Angelina Jolie.
Mm-hmm.
The Master's Dustin Hoffman. The Monkey is Jackie Chan. The Mantis is Seth Rogen. The Viper is Lucy Liu. And the Crane is David Cross.
That's pretty.
You guys, yeah, this is a good movie, cast. Dude. We have it.
Was there a sequel to this?
Yes, yeah. I haven't seen it. I love Kung Fu Panda, and I still haven't seen Kung Fu Panda 2.
I don't know why.
I mean, it's a kid's movie.
Yeah. I think after, like, Shrek 2, I'm like, I'm going to give up on DreamWorks movies. I'm out.
After what?
After, like, Shrek Part 2, I was like, I'm done.
Oh, 2 was good. 3 was the bad one.
Yeah.
I just stopped. 2 was stopped okay. Caring.
Yeah. 2 had Puss in Boots.
Yeah.
All right.
Are you nuts? I should have put that battle in there. When they're attacking the castle. Oh, my God. I tear up.
Oh, yeah.
I tear up
the
every time.
Man.
The giant gingerbread man falls into the moat, and then the little gingerbread man jumps after him. Oh, my God.
He cries.
Well, I do. I cry. I tear up every time.
Every time.
You all forget Saving Private Ryan. The people who gave their lives so we could have freedom. He's like, but when that gingerbread,
it's... The Battle of Ever After. Yeah. That's what I'm going to call it.
All right. Where are we at?
Number two, Kung Fu Panda.
All right. For my number two, I picked a movie from 1930, going all the way back. Yeah.
What, a battle?
Yeah. Well, it's... Yeah, it's a battle. There's a lot of battles, actually.
Okay.
The movie is Hell's Angels, directed by Howard Hughes.
Never seen it.
Basically, it's just a bunch of dogfights in the air.
It's like a flying movie.
Yeah, it's airplanes. He used over like 70 pilots for one of the scenes. I think all in all, like when the movie was all done, he took him years to make this movie.
What kind of planes are they?
Like biplanes.
Biplanes?
Yeah. And by the time the movie was done, I think it had been like 4 years, like an insane amount of years. And it had cost him, I think, because he kept fucking with it. Because it had originally been filmed, it was a silent movie.
Right.
But he took him so long that he was, the talkies were coming out. So he went back and like had to like redo sound, redo some scenes. But also, like, it took him forever because he couldn't figure out. Howard Hughes is a guy who self-taught pilot and self-taught director, and successful, I would say, at both. But he basically couldn't figure out how to film the scenes and make them look like they were going really fast. It looked like it was fake, and even though like they were really filming these planes, so he figured out that he had to have like things in the foreground to show how fast it's going.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why there's famous scenes, like they use clouds, like you need clouds, and it's shooting in LA. Sometimes you don't have that many clouds, especially around that time. But
what did they do?
They had to just wait until they kind of found.
Damn.
So all the pilots were on hire.
No CG to throw in some clouds.
No. What's funny because like I was always kind of interested in Howard Hughes, and then after the movie came out, like, I went back and read like other books, and like they talk about how like he literally was paying them to just sit around and wait for clouds. All the pilots were there. They were you know, like a full production. And to in that point in the 1930s, I think he had like, if you counted the fact that, cause he had like planes that were actually used in war, you know, mm-hmm. that he was like renting and stuff, and they didn't have real ammunition on them. But if they did, if they were armed, he would have had one of the biggest like aerial forces, because he had that many pilots and that many planes. Like you'd have his own private army, basically. But he'd pay for them to be just sitting there, and I think it was costing him like something like $15,000 a day to feed all these pilots and like pay for them like per day. And this went on for like 4 or 5 years. But some of the aerial scenes that what he was able to get out of it are pretty insane. Like for its time, no CGI, very little like camera tricks. A lot of stuff is done. Like, I mean, 3 pilots died by the end of the shoot.
What?
Yeah. By the time all was said and done, out of the 70 pilots he had, 3 of them died because of all the like crazy stunts that we're doing.
And stuff. Oh my God.
Yeah. But yeah, if you get a chance, just type in Hell's Angels. Well, don't type in Hell's Angels because the motorcycle gang might come out. But if you just type in Hell's Angels aerial battles, like there's some pretty interesting stuff. So you check it out if you get a chance. And I mean, done by a guy who self-trained director, like I said, and pilot, and this is just kind of interesting to me. So
interesting.
That is my number. Were we in two?
Two.
Yeah, from 1930, Hell's Angels.
Johnny. So my number two is another kung fu movie, and it's House of Flying Daggers, and it's the battle in the bamboo forest.
I don't remember this.
Is that one of the floaty movies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is Jet Li in this? Tony Liu.
I don't think so.
I remember
Andy Liu.
Close enough. Yeah. He's a Lou, right? I got the last part right.
Yeah,
got his last name.
It's the movie with the girl from like all those kung fu movies. I think
Michelle Yeoh.
Zai Zhang.
Oh, Zhang Ziyi. No, I think her name is Zhang Ziyi.
I'm sorry.
Zhang Ziyi. She's
from
she's
Crouching
in
Tiger. Yeah,
yeah.
Zhang Ziyi.
She's
from all those.
Yeah.
And she's blind in this one. This one, she's blind.
Oh, really?
But she is she knows kung fu, but this one they're all trying to be quiet in the bamboo forest, and she like can't hear them, and so the guy has to come help her. I think.
I haven't seen this movie then. It's
but
good.
They're like climbing up the bamboo, and then they're swinging from bamboo to bamboo, and then they're like stopping with the splits and like throwing friggin' daggers, not daggers, spears, probably daggers.
It is called House of the Flying Daggers, right?
I know. Probably spears, though.
Yeah. I'm just not a fan of that style of kung fu.
So
I don't
pretty.
Like.
I am.
I don't like the floaty running thing.
It's so pretty.
I mean.
So I'm.
It's
I
different.
Like. I remember liking the movie. I just for some reason it's just personal preference, I guess. I just don't like the floaty run.
Well, here's the thing: Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon did it right, and like so.
See,
after,
I didn't even like it. In
after
that movie
was done, like everything else was like just like. Like oh another movie like wanting to be Crouching Tiger, but I mean like this one I'm sure could be good. I don't know.
No,
like,
I mean it was as good as Crouching Tiger.
Yeah,
yeah.
And they would both be better movies if they didn't float run.
Really,
I just don't. It just looks weird. It just to me in my mind I can like see the wire. Like you can't.
Yeah.
But I'm just like no human does that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's kind of.
I don't
kinda,
watch it for it to be real. Like I watch it because it looks magical. Like, it's the same feeling I have with Miyazaki movies. I don't freaking watch Miyazaki movies for him to do a documentary on the war. I don't watch those movies. I hated that one.
But never...
But, like, the older ones, it's all magical. And, like, it's not real, but it's pretty and it's, you know, a fantasy.
Whimsical.
But
whimsical.
The difference in Miyazaki movies is I never question the unreal. I am drawn in. I believe it. I watch it and love it. Like those movies, it takes me out as soon as they start doing that weird running thing.
It's
I don't kinda know
what it's
it kinda is.
Like musicals to me. Like once they start singing yeah. like they break the fourth wall and go like they're almost like they're winking at the camera. but see I like
I'll give you that.
I like the floating. I like the floating. It's kind of it's whimsical unto itself and
yeah.
I like it.
I feel like it just has a precision and it's all done so like they put so much time and choreography into it that I love it.
It's almost like a battle dance.
To be honest, yeah, it's almost more like a musical, a kung fu musical, even though you don't like them.
It's weird.
This is like a the closest you'll ever get to musicals because it's almost like dancing.
Yeah.
Didn't it's we beautiful. Find out you liked a musical though? What was it?
I like,
wasn't
I like
a real
once.
Musical.
I like once. That's kind of considered a musical. Well, now it is a musical on Broadway.
You liked something that wasn't really a musical, but we were like, it's kind of a musical.
I don't know what it was.
Yeah, I can't remember. I should have wrote it down.
I was going to say Zhang Ziyi is also in The Grandmaster. Do you remember her at the end?
Yeah, yeah.
She had a good fight. She's good.
She's really good.
Yeah. She should do more American films, but you know.
No.
She can't catch a break. Wasn't she in Rush Hour 2?
<You're right.
laughs> She was.
What
I like all the Rush
what
Hours.
Happened to
I don't
Kung
care.
Fu movies? I feel like they've kind of
they
been replaced
their...
with zombies and
that's
werewolves.
What happens.
And
well, yeah,
go
I mean, it's go. We go through phases. I'm sure we'll come back to them eventually, like when we remake The Matrix Part 1. Somebody, you know, somebody will.
God, yeah, they're it's gonna happen.
Yeah,
nothing's safe.
Like
they remade fucking Footloose.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
that's not saying a lot, but sure.
But I'm just saying
I like that's what you didn't go like they remade Nightmare on Elm Street. You just went straight for Footloose.
Fucking Footloose.
Footloose. This is like a movie that you could easily watch right now with Kevin Bacon, like not sitting on the couch, but like in the one with
we
Kevin
got
Bacon.
It. Thank you.
and it's a fucking good movie. It stands up. There's no reason to remake it. Yeah, there it is.
Yep.
Well, I feel like that's the way with a lot of movies.
First world problems, am I right?
Yeah.
But they didn't change anything about the Footloose is my point.
You saw the remake?
No, I watched the trailer and it's still about a town that doesn't allow dancing, but it's set now?
Now. Yeah.
Go fuck yourself. Where does... What?
Yeah.
No.
There are places like that. I went to a wedding where they didn't allow dancing.
Where?
In Georgia.
Are you serious?
No dancing, no liquor.
It was a dry county?
Did they go to the county border?
And they just start dancing. They started dancing on the border. They're like, we crossed the county line. Start dancing. They're doing the jitterbug and stuff.
Oh, shit.
That's incredible. Like, that, are you, were they?
They're just really, really, really Christian.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
super
insane.
Christian. But the brother from the family totally had dancing at his wedding. I went to that one too.
Really?
No liquor though. Still.
Ugh. But well, question now.
Liquor afterwards though. Heyo. After the parents go to sleep.
Oh man.
What? So what did you? What did everybody do? Like just hang out and
ate, sat,
talk. A lot of talking, a lot of discussions.
Yeah. I don't remember it lasting very long.
They're like, we rented this place for an hour because that's all we need. Just for the snacks.
I don't think there were any. There
start at 6, end at
7:30. Yeah, yeah. Be home.
Including ceremony.
Be home before Game of Thrones starts. Oh man. I can't believe you went to that wedding. I would have protested. I'm like, I'm not gonna go.
My boyfriend was in the wedding party. Ugh,
I would have protested against that too. All right. Where are we at? That was Jenny's number
2.
Yeah. So sorry. Recap thing.
Recap and your number 1.
Okay, recap. Coming in at number 5, Kill Bill Part 1. Number 4, Fifth Element. Number 3, Lone Survivor, and number 2, Kung Fu Panda. Bringing me to my number 1 epic battle, The Avengers.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Because, I mean, as much as I like the battles in most other movies, especially the new Spider-Man movies, Avengers had the buddy fighting, the co-op moves. And yeah. I loved that, just the montage where, like, Hulk is, like, putting the piece of metal on the thing's head, and then mm-hmm. Thor electrifies it. Like, just all the combo moves like that. Like, shooting stuff off Cap's shield.
Yeah.
It just, I liked the action. I liked seeing what I love in the comic books come to life with the team-ups.
Here's my complaint. I'm going to complain about this. not just in general. I like...
Excluding Hawkeye, like, talk about a boring power.
Yeah. So I loved Winter Soldier more than I liked Avengers by far.
I haven't seen it yet. Okay. Still waiting for a dollar theater.
And I'll tell you why. It's in Pasadena now, actually. The dollar theater there.
But, oh, okay. Yeah.
I like Winter Soldier a lot better because the end battles, like the action wasn't as chaotic as this one. Because with Avengers, even with all the CGI in the movies and everything, fuck it. Do even like Lord of the Rings. I hate Lord of the Rings. But all the camera moves were based on real life camera moves. Like, okay, if this line existed, our camera would be here on a tripod or on a crane. And they're all done really imaginative, but within the constructs of cinema, of cinematic shots. Where Avengers, it's like you're going through like a peephole, and it's like it's just too fucking chaotic for me. Like it's too, I don't like that style. And like, it maybe come from the fact that like Whedon doesn't really have a style to begin with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's
no,
just
I get
kind
you.
Of e.
And it's not even the whole battle that I like. It's where they're not talking and it's kind of like way zoomed out.
Yeah.
And so they're only like
a
small figure on the screen. Like the shot of Hulk and Thor fighting on top of one of the snake alien things. Mm-hmm. Like it's so far back. I just like, it's like I'm watching a battle. I'm not watching. I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that.
But in some points of the battle, like you get to the part where you're like, there's no
feasible way we could film this.
Yeah, and there's no like cinematic taste to it. It just becomes like almost like a video game where it's like, well, then why don't you just make this an animated movie and just be done with
dude,
it?
Dude, like hands down, as far as superhero movies go, the Ninja Turtles, all that shit, I would watch animated movies for all of them and not complain a bit. The last Ninja Turtles movie that was all animated, mm-hmm. It was amazing.
Really?
It was really good. And it was pretty much a sequel to the live-action Turtles. And they, like, kept the continuity. Like, there's like, a scene with Splinter talking to the Turtles in the sewer dojo. And they've got, like, helmets on the wall in the background. It's got, like, Shredder's helmet from when they killed Shredder. It's got the helmets from Turtles and the third Turtles.
When they go time travel?
Yeah, when they time travel, they've got the little samurai heads on the... It's all there, and it's that's awesome. Cool. But it was great, and it worked because it was animated.
I gotta see it. Do you have it? Do you own it?
No, I don't own any
Forget
movies.
Forget you, dude. I'm done with
you. I'm poor.
So, okay, last battle, you said.
Avengers number 1, yeah.
All right. All right, my recap and my number 1. This wasn't on my list, but it was... We had to mention it. Saving Private Ryan was kind of on everybody's list, I guess you would say, except Jenny's, who hasn't seen it. 5 was Kill Bill. 4 was a two-way tie between the Grandmaster and Seven Samurai. 3 was Apocalypse Now. 2, Hell's Angels. And my number 1, a movie that I've talked about it once or twice, Master and Commander, The Far Side of the World. Have you guys seen this?
No.
It is badass. It's Russell Crowe. Just being Russell Crowe.
I like it.
No, it's during the... I have a hard time with this. Napoleonic Wars.
Okay.
And there's basically two main, like, really big battleship wars. And they're done so well, especially the last one. Like, I don't want to give too much away because I really want you guys to see it. But they go from, like, you know, shooting cannons at each other to, like, you know, ram each other to kind of to hand-to-hand combat.
Okay.
And it's done so seamlessly and so well done. And
it sounds cool.
And at first, when I first went to see this movie, I'm like, oh, it's going to be a boring movie about fucking stupid naval stuff, you know? In old times.
Yeah, naval stuff's hard to do.
Yeah, and so I was like, all right, I'll go see it. And I like the director. It was Peter Weir, the guy who did Truman Show, the Dead Poets Society.
Okay.
So that's what kind of drew me in. And then
when did it come out?
It came out in 2003. Sorry.
Okay.
And it stars Kurt Russell, Paul Bettany as kind of like a Darwin character, like Darwin the. And then Billy Boyd's in it, so you dig that from Lord of the Rings. And there's a bunch of British actors. There's a bunch of British actors that you recognize now as grown up, but back then they were little kids because there's a lot of little kids on the ship. You know, not little kids, but like
what year was this?
12, 13 year olds. 2003.
Oh.
Yeah. So you recognize a lot of like the actors who grew up to kind of, you know, are now kind of like hitting like their teen years and stuff. So, it's really well done. It's just, I didn't know, you know, Napoleonic war battles would be that interesting. And it was really well done. It's based on a book series. And there's a bunch of books that follow this one, The Far Side of the World. And at the end, they kind of leave it open for the next one. And as soon as the movie was over, I'm like, I can't wait for the sequel. And Kurt Russell, I think, has been on record of, it's one of his favorite movies that he's done. And they couldn't pull enough money to like warrant a sequel. But I'd love to see a sequel to these, especially because Paul Bettany and him were like amazing together. So if you get a chance, check it out, Master and Commander. It won't disappoint. It's badass.
That's yeah. No, I'm interested. I like, dude. Ever since I played the new Assassin's Creed with Black Flag with the pirate ships, like that, like naval battles have really started to be more interesting.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they're pretty badass.
Yeah.
And just like the stages of it, because you go from like from cannons to, you know, you want to get close to the ship, and then, you know, and then once you get close to the ship, it's a full on like invasion of their ship, or they come, either they're going to come onto your ship or you're going to go to their ship. And it's pretty chaotic and intense. And you got to check it out. If you like the game, you got to check out this movie.
What was it? Far Side of the World?
Master and Commander, The Far Side of the World.
That's probably why I didn't do well, man. This is a long ass title.
Well, they wanted to be able to use the title for the sequel, The Master and Commander, and then, you know, the subtitle to it.
This like I was just four. Making a joke. You don't have to explain it.
I'll explain it to you all you want. Jenny, what is your number? Your recap.
Okay, my number 5 was Kung Fu Hustle. 4, Anchorman. Anchorman. 3 was Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. 2 was House of Flying Daggers, and my number 1, I don't know why you put me last, because you guys both hate this movie.
Uh-oh.
This is the worst case that I've ever been in my life, because I don't have Kevin to back me up, is Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers.
Oh, shit. We do both hate it.
No, here's the thing, I hate the movie, but like I was just telling Rory, like I prefer Lord of the Rings battles. Because all their camera moves are based on cinematic, like, they're cinematic moves.
Yeah.
And, yes, that movie is fucking horrible, but that's what you fucking want. I'll agree with you that this is a good battle, because I don't want to see two fucking hobbits walking. I want to see orcs beating the shit out of each other.
So, yeah. So, you're saying it's only good because it took you away from the boredom?
Yes. I'm going to agree with you, and it's not a bad choice.
I can't explain it, but for me, that battle, I just wasn't... The second one.
This is the second one, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't feel the stakes. You know, I never felt like they were going to lose. And in a battle, I feel like that's pivotal.
But you had also read the books, hadn't you?
I had read the books.
Does that change anything?
I didn't like it in the books either. It was just like, when you know somebody's going to show up. Maybe you didn't know it was going to be Gandalf, but you knew it was somebody was going to show up.
I had no idea. See, you know shit like that, though. You can guess the ending of a movie halfway through the movie. And I don't even think about it. Like, I feel like you're sitting there going, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next?
And when then you guess when it, I do and that, then I it's don't when
even
I'm bored.
Think about it. Like, it doesn't even occur to me that I need to be thinking about someone's going to be coming to save them. That Gandalf's going to be coming back. In my head, I'm just like, Gandalf's gone, moving on. What's going to happen? And I'm in the moment. Like, I don't ever think ahead.
See, I think ahead, but I just suspend that. Like, I assess it, and then I'm gone. Like, the movie sucks me in. Like, that's what happened with The Edge of Tomorrow. Like, I'm like, the first 10 minutes, I'm like, I clearly know how this movie ends. But, and then the ride kind of, like, made me forget about it.
Exactly. And, that's the point. Like, if you write the movie well enough.
I'm not even, saying that.
Even if you figure the movie out.
I'm not trying to say if that's going to make a movie. I'm just saying that that's what you do, and this is what I do. And that's why I think I felt differently about this scene. That's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to say that this is a good movie, and this is why, or anything like that.
Well, I'm saying if the battle was written
I get that you don't like the movie. I get it. I'm just saying.
Or you don't like Lord of the Rings either?
No, I don't like it.
No, all right, he doesn't. And I get that. I'm just saying, like, this is what makes it different for you and me. Because I wasn't thinking that.
Okay. I'm not saying you're wrong.
I hate Lord of the Rings, but I'm going to agree with Jenny. Because the battle is the only saving grace of all these movies. Like, it's like, we're tired of the fucking ring. Just chuck it somewhere. Who's going to find it? Just dig a hole and bury it there. No one's going to find it. Just leave.
Someone's going to find it.
Just leave. The ring walk is away. Finding people by somebody them. Find if somebody finds a ring, you'll be dead by then. How long do hobbits live? 80, 90 years old?
They're not dogs.
I'm like
10 years.
10 years and they're done. 10 years.
They live a while, dude.
Really?
Yeah, because I mean, Bilbo's like celebrating
hundreds.
Yeah.
See, somebody would dig it up and was like, "Hey, remember you told us you destroyed the ring?" Awkward. We found it. It's like, no, I swear.
That's a different ring.
I think, ask Sam. I'm pretty sure we went to the mountain and threw it in there.
They probably made two. They probably
made two.
Probably two.
Well, they probably went into the lava.
Maybe, we must have had a fake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit. Fucking Gandalf, always fucking with us. But yeah, all right. I agree with you. Any honorable mentions? I a lot of mine are battles that I'll put on the top five battles episode.
You mean fights?
Not really.
Fights, yeah.
I see it like I really wanted to do some Jackie Chan fights.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some good fights out there. Yeah. No, I don't get anything.
We're done. Follow us on Twitter at the Film Podcast. What else? Follow me on Twitter at Ricardo ULTRES.
I'm at Jenei, JEHNEIGH.
I'm at Groat Hardstroke. Groat Hardstroke.
Groat,
G-R-O-A-T.
So check us out there on Facebook and all that stuff. Rate us on iTunes if you can. Send us ideas for lists and stuff. You know, like we're trying to get more of the director series. We're doing another canon episode where we're going to do finally American Ninja. I'm excited about that one. American Ninja, one of my favorite ninja movies of all time. So we're doing another canon episode. I'm hoping, I just thought of this because I watched the documentary, Never Sleep Again. That's streaming on Netflix, which you should definitely check out if you like the Freddy movies. It's like 4.5 hours, but you can watch it in pieces because they cover like every movie they ever made. So they cover from 1 through 5, Freddy's Dead, New Nightmare. They cover Freddy versus Jason and like the making of it. You talk to the directors and it's really in depth. But that kind of gave me the idea of from now till Halloween, we'll try to watch all the Freddy movies. And then we'll talk about them on Halloween or something. Halloween episode.
Damn.
Really far away.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the thing is that there's like 10 movies.
I guess it's
movies.
Not that far. It's June movies. Already.
Yeah. Also, there's 10 movies that I don't want you to all watch in one weekend, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll have that episode.
I think we should watch them all in one weekend.
All right. Then marathon one night.
Pass.
But yeah, so we're going to do another director series episode. We don't know on who. We just did. The last one was Jon Favreau. So if you have any ideas, well, feel free to tweet us, email us, all that stuff. But that's it. Until next. Hey, what's your blog's name?
Oh, it's groat.wordpress.com.
Yeah.
ITS.
All right. So if you want to hear about video games and stuff of that matter, go over to his blog. Check it out. But until next time, hey, have a good week.